tape, the questions from the Holy Ghost. The tape was preached in 1959 at nights, and will continue until we finish that tape. And also, what is the mission of God being revealed? I'd like to say that that tape, questions from the Holy Ghost, is a tremendous tape. Just listen and pray about it. And to you young people that you don't understand what's going on, sometimes people tell you about the Holy Ghost and you think that it's a kind of a halo around somebody's face. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God dwells in you. I believe in the pillar of fire with all of my heart, but am I probably very simple to everybody tonight and to see what is the Holy Ghost, how to receive it, what's going on. Now, if you try to, summarize or put together the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures, you'll find out that there are five instances in the Book of Acts, five major instances in the Book of Acts that the Holy Spirit was given. The first one is in Acts 2. You remember we discussed things from Acts 2. The second one is Acts 8, 14 to 17. That's the time Philip was preaching the gospel to the Samaritan. The third one was Acts 10, 44 to 48, the conversion of Cornelius at his house. You remember he was a Gentile. We spoke about it last week, last service, should I say. The fourth one is Acts 11, 11 to 18, and the last one is Acts 9, 1 to 7, where Paul, with some disciples at Ephesus there, what happened. Now, when we look back and we say, now, what have we covered about the Holy Ghost? You're sitting here and I'm sitting here. Some people probably don't have the Holy Ghost and they say, I want to receive it. I want to receive that power. What that power is going to do to you, just get your mind out of anything external. Just let God come to your heart and fill you with the Spirit, then you have no problems. That's all I can tell you. Because there's no formula in the Scripture that you have to cry, scream, or do anything. You might cry, you might scream, you might speak in tongues, you might dance in the Spirit. I don't know. The only thing I care, get the genuine Holy Ghost baptism. That's all I care. And never be embarrassed. If you want to glorify God, says, praise the Lord, raise your hand and cry. I don't mind these things at all. It's good to glorify God. Now, if you go back and start looking, the first service that we started, the promise was from the Father to send you the Holy Ghost. And if each one of us get a hold of that promise, and God cannot lie, because He promised it. When we say promise, what do you mean? We mean the word Evangelia, which means the command, to make known, to give a command as a military. God gives a command. He says, that's what's going to happen. When God speaks, nothing's going to stand in the way. It's going to happen. That's it. The thing is, you have to be in a state to receive it. The second thing we saw, He told them to go in Jerusalem and tarry. What is tarry? People think sometimes they went over to pray and pray day and night. No. The word is kathisade, who means to put somebody to sit down. And sit down like in a board meeting. Just sit. If you feel like praying, pray. But in your heart, there's a unity, a desire to receive the Holy Ghost. And that's what you do. You say, Lord, I need the Holy Ghost. And now the question is, should I go to Jerusalem to get it like the disciples did? No, because you can see the other five instances, they got them in different places, like we saw at Cornelius' house. So don't put a location in your mind. God can give you the Holy Ghost by sitting in your chair. God can give you the Holy Ghost by laying in your bed. God can give you the Holy Ghost by coming to church. So the Holy Ghost has no location. We honor God. We pray for one another. But let's don't limit God to say that unless you come here to the church and we do this with you, you cannot receive the Holy Ghost. I knew, like I mentioned a long time ago, Charismatic Move, that they had a chair in the kitchen, in the house, and you go in, if you want the Holy Ghost, you got to speak in tongues. And you got to sit in that chair. So you sit in the chair, it was like a sanctified chair. You sit on that chair, and they lay hands on you, and you repeat the word hallelujah, then you speak in tongues. I'm not talking about this kind of things. I'm talking about the genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost that will give you such a strength to listen the Word of God, to read the Word of God, and says, Lord, give me that strength to fulfill it. And the Word answers back to you and says, you have the strength. Believe it and go on with it. That's what we're talking about. And that promise there, what it's going to do with you? It will endure you with power. Says, what that means, Brother David, remember I went to that word, means envio, means to sink, to be covered up. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost that God sink you right in your spirit. The whole thing, body, soul, and spirit. You are right in it, and then you deal with the world by that power stays in you, and you got many trials, many fusses, and many problems, but God helps you to overcome. It's like a cycle. You go sometimes at the bottom, you come up again. Keep on going. Always trials and problems. We never without trials and problems. He told them, of course, to stay in Jerusalem because that was the promise at the time to wait in that city. We call it the city of God, some people call it. He told them to wait in Jerusalem. He didn't tell them to do anything they wanted, to wait until the Spirit comes. But after the Spirit came, we see that the Spirit was filling the people in different parts in Acts 2, in the different portions of the book of Acts. Now, he told them to wait on one accord, for the fulfillment of Joel 2:28-29. It says, I will pour my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. What is the state to wait? The state to wait is to be in the Spirit. Say, Lord, and young people, you remember this. Say, Lord, I failed you. The first thing you do, you repent. It's, Lord, forgive me. The next thing you do, you wait. You believe in that promise. You say, Lord, you promised it. Get with you in your school sack or something, the verse that says he'll give you the Holy Ghost. And believe in it. And God will honor it. I believe that. Now, in John 7:39, we see that the promise is of the Holy Spirit was after Christ was glorified. We're talking about the Spirit of the resurrected Christ. You see, what the Spirit will do? People say, who is in the bride? Who is in the message? Who is not in the bride? A quick definition. If that same Spirit, that's the Holy Ghost, raise Christ from the dead, dwells in your mortal body, will raise you up also. So when you go down to die, and you are dying, and you take the last breath, if the Holy Spirit is in you, will raise you up. If it's not there, nothing can raise you up. That's all. It's the resurrected Spirit of Christ in you that does it. Now, we see that that power of the Spirit is a power in an inward man. Inside, God will give you the power. And if you take all our frustrations, tensions, problems, depressions, and all that stuff, they are working inside the inward man. When you lose the vision, where are we going? When you lose the vision, what do we do for the Lord? Whatever it is, books or whatever we try to do, when you lose that vision, then we are depressed. If the world will give you the best house, the best automobile, the best everything, you say it's good to have, but you know when you have it, then you say, what's worth it anyway? I'm going to die. I'm dying every day. I'm going down and down and down every day. Every day I'm getting closer to my grave or the resurrection. Now in Acts 2:37-40, we see that their hearts were pricked. God has to move into your heart. When you see the need, when you fight the world, when you say, God, help me because I'm beat up completely and I cannot overcome, God will give you that strength. The first thing that God does, he will prick your soul, an inward man. And this appears, I said, only one time in the New Testament. It comes from the word katanizo, which means to make wide open, to cause a mental anguish, to slay, to be pierced in the heart. In other words, God is going to give that desire. And you say, I want the Holy Ghost, and if I don't get it, I'd rather die. That's it. And I keep on looking for it. Keep on looking. Don't let other people to say you have it or you don't have it. You're supposed to know. You know, people will deceive you. You know, let me tell you this. People will tell you you got the Holy Ghost because you believe in the message. I believe if you have the Holy Ghost, you believe in the message. But because you believe in the message doesn't mean you really have the Holy Ghost yet. You understand that? There's one difference. Satan believes and trembles in this message. The people of the message believe and laugh. That's the difference. because it's a serious message, isn't it, that God gave. And the people take it so light, ready for the rapture. Let's make sure by the word of God that we are ready. And now the believers receive the truth after hearing the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing from the word of God, Galatians 3:25. You remember, the key of the whole thing is the word of God. We are Gentiles, and Brother Ram spoke about that, and at the time of the Gentiles was by faith, was not by works. Through the book of Acts, you find out that when the disciples lay hands on the Jews to pray, they pray for them by laying hands to receive the Holy Ghost. But the Gentiles, they speak the word, or they declare the word, and that power of the word came in them because they received it by faith. We are not by works, we are by faith of the finished work at Calvary. And now repentance is the first thing that you do, you ask, because the Holy Spirit is given only to them that obey Him. Search your heart. You say, I'm okay, just pray and wait. Or that the baptism is young people and older persons, the promise is unto you and to your children. Period. How long? He never specify any time. He says, as many as the Lord hath called. God is calling. That's a hard word to give, especially among the Pentecostal denominations. You know, there are two groups of people. The Pentecostal denominationals and the Baptists, really the two leading doctrines. The Baptist is straight predestination. The Pentecostals, whosoever will, says, I'll do it. I want to get saved, I'm going to get saved. I don't need anybody to help me. But unless God calls you, you cannot get saved. You try to save somebody, you'll find out you cannot do it. You try to tell them, get saved, convince them. The people will go to church, they are convinced, but unless God calls them, they will never get saved. And it's a very hard thing to face. You know, people with loved ones that they leave and they are not saved. And they say, well, my son, my daughter, my husband, my wife, my cousin, I want them to see get saved. But you see, your hands are tied. You pray to God and believing that God will do it. Believing. Because there's some promises like in Acts 16. You and your household. You believe on that. But God has to do something in the heart to pull them to Himself. No man can come to me unless my Father draws him first. When I was in Greece, I was talking to a minister, and I said, unless God calls him, he looked at me very strange. He said, what do you mean calls them? You do the work. I says, you do the work, unless God calls you, you cannot do the work. No, no, he says, are you one of them? That's what he told me. Are you one of them? You know. That's why I tell them, I says, if you have any question, ask me, and I'll take you to the Scriptures. And if I have any questions about you, I'll go to the Scriptures and ask you to see what you believe about that. It's like taking the complete book of Ephesians and throw it out of the door. That's what they are doing. But God is God. Now, as many as the Lord God shall call, that's proskaloko, means to call, and then to, it means, okay, there are two meanings. Let me identify for a minute here. I don't want to be grammatical, but once I make an outline, because I want to touch another subject, let's do it. Is the word proskalo. Kalo is a verb, who means call. That's a simple, who means call. But proskalo means to is pure, like one that appears. God does something in you. Many are called, but a few are chosen. You remember that in the scriptures? You know? Many are called, a few are chosen. That proskalo means that God has by His grace called you to receive the Holy Ghost. And I believe, if you believe in your heart that God saved you, there's nothing to hold you from praying and say, Lord, give me the Holy Ghost. Don't take substitutes. People will take a little point and they say, I got the Holy Ghost, I believe in the message. Just make sure that your life fulfills the Word. That's the key of the whole thing there. And the rest of it, if you cry, you scream, I don't mind, it's all right. Now, we got another case here. You remember the house of Cornelius. It was a Roman man that God invited him to receive the Holy Ghost. That man, his heart was burning. He says, go and get Peter and bring him right here. And he was a Gentile. That's in Acts 11, 1 to 4. We spoke last service on that. Now, his characteristics of Cornelius was a devout man, a person devoted to the divine worship and service. Now, we can get into this in the original text, and you'll find out a man that was justified. A man that was justified. So justification has taken place in the heart of Cornelius, because the kerosene appears there, that verb, when we talk about Cornelius in the book of Acts. Now, we know that in the book of Proverbs, he was a man that feared God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There's a fear in him. You go with reverence to God. You don't say, hey, God, I want the Holy Ghost. What about it? No, you don't. You deserve nothing. I deserve nothing. We're here by His grace, and that's all. That's what we are. And you say, Lord, be merciful to me. I feel in my heart I need something. I don't know what it is. I believe that you can give me the Holy Ghost. My heart is seeking for it. Lord, help me. Give me that Holy Ghost. I don't care how I'm going to act. I don't care what I'm going to scream. I don't care about anything. I want the Holy Ghost. I want that birthright. I want that. That's what you do. And God knows you. Sometimes people will receive the Holy Ghost at the time of salvation. Do you know that? You don't need to be indoctrinated. God saves and cleans your heart from every sin and fills you with the Spirit. That's it. It's that simple. Or you say, well, what about baptism? We're supposed to be baptized first. Look at Cornelius. The man was not baptized. Peter says, what hinders them now to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? So just when that heart is cleaned up, you seek for the Holy Ghost, you get it. That's it. Now we know he was a good man and was giving, helping the poor and so on. Pray to God always, a man of prayer and devotion. Now, Cornelius' prayer was not given to God in vain. God accumulates that prayer. You know what we say? We need the Holy Ghost sometimes, and you young people and us older people, we need a refill of the Holy Ghost, and we say, well, I went over to the church and I prayed for 2 hours. I didn't get anything. Probably that's in vain. God doesn't forget that prayer. People count prayer when they talk. But a powerful prayer is when you stand still and let Him talk to you. That's a powerful prayer there. You sit there for a minute and you feel restless. You don't know what you're doing. You say, what I'm doing here. You open your Bible, read a verse, and all of a sudden it strikes you. So, God, forgive my sins. That's how God works. Now, We know that Cornelius' prayer was not given in vain, but God answered by vision to him. And we know what happened. I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. I like that statement that was made at the time of the calling. Now, the angel of the Lord now, speaking to Cornelius, he said to him in Acts 10:4, thy prayers, thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. Think of it, his prayers. It's God doesn't forget anything. The thing that we have to do to break through and have no obstacles between us and God. When once the obstacles are removed, then we can talk to God. We have some very strong statements in the Scriptures. The Scripture says, unless you forsake father and mother, the daughter, son, and everything else, you cannot even follow me. You'll be frustrated all the time. We have to leave them in the hands of God. And say, God, take care of it from now on. That's it, right there. But Lord, look at my husband. Look at my daughter. Look, commit them in the hands of the Lord. Did Brother Bram do the same thing? Yes. You remember Rebecca one time? Start taking the wrong road about playing the piano. Some kind of bookie, Brother Brown called it, in the piano. Brother Brown said to her, I will commit you in the hands of the Lord. And she didn't continue. She came back. She said, we're sorry about that. And God bless that girl. So commit in the hands of the Lord. And never let the devil tell you that God doesn't remember your prayers. God remembers and answers prayer. Now, we know this, that in Acts 10, that God is not a respecter of person. So, whatever you are, you're an Italian, you're a Greek, you're a Mexican, you're a Spanish, you're whatever you are, makes no difference to God. God is no respecter of person. That's why I remember in Acts 10, at the time of Cornelius, Peter preached. He says, God is no respecter of person. But what happened? God gives to everybody the righteousness and the Holy Ghost according to his will. And I mentioned three verses, Deuteronomy 10:17, 1 Corinthians 12:13, and Galatians 3:28. Now, when we start looking on these things, we start looking at what God has done through the book of Acts, especially through Cornelius. This was the two cases that we took. The book of Acts, the Spirit came upon the believers, and it was not only for them. I remember when I was talking to that Baptist preacher. He said to me, David, sometimes I feel that people are psycho-religious on me. I said, what happened, John? He says, I went over with some businessmen. And they want to lay hands on me to receive the Holy Ghost. And I pray and I said, go ahead and lay hands and I'll commit myself to the Lord. And he says, this is shaking me and telling me, repeat the word hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And then your tongue will get mixed in speaking tongues. He said to me, this sounds to me like sacrilegious. What do you think about that? I said, I agree with you. Because you see, you take a human element there and try to put God to do your work instead of letting God do it. Leave God to do his work and God will do it. But you say, now if you say hallelujah, hallelujah, you're going to help God to get the Holy Ghost. Now you can get the Holy Ghost and say hallelujah and scream. I said, God bless you. But when you use it as an instrument to get the Holy Ghost, and because you repeat it, your tongue will get mixed up, I don't believe in that kind of a baptism. Now, God now, in Acts 19 now we see, let's look for a minute on Acts 9 first, at Paul's baptism. Acts, the book of Acts, the 9th chapter. The 17th verse. This puzzles many people. Now, God sent Ananias. This is the conversion and baptism of Saul. On the 17th verse, Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou comest, hath sent me, and thou mayest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. God can lead a person. And if it's God, he's going to fulfill it. God can lead somebody and come to you. And he can say, Sister, the Lord sent me. But don't just try to eat it right away. Wait, because God works in both ends of the line. God worked in Paul, he waited for Ananias. I'm sorry, yeah, that's right. Ananias on the other side knew what was going to happen to Paul. God is preparing us. Because you tend sometimes now, the Lord told me this. I just scare this kind of people, the Lord told me this. They have no fear of the Lord. They use the Lord's name in vain. What about if they pray for you and you don't receive the Holy Ghost? You know what's going to happen to you? You're going to get a blame that you don't believe. Because they lie, then you get the blame. So you have to fight devils after that. Make sure that's God that talks to you. God speaks in both ends of the line. Now, listen what happened to Paul. And immediately there fell from his eyes, you know, the shackles, and he received his sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Was baptized with what? He received the Holy Ghost and was baptized. That's a strange kind of a case, isn't it? No record that Paul spoke in tongues. No record at all. This is the messenger to the Gentile. You expect to read a book with the doctrine of the so-called today denominational Pentecostals and say, Paul spoke in tongues, Paul this. But when Paul comes to Corinthians there, 1 Corinthians 14:18, he said to them, Paul speaking, he says, I speak more tongues than any of you. But the people are confused sometimes the difference between the gift of tongues and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Christ in you. The gift of tongues is a gift that God gives you in tongues and must be interpreted in the church. Now, how do you receive, Brother David, the baptism of the Holy Ghost? The first thing you have to remember is Matthew 5:6. Blessed are those who hunger after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You have to be hungry for it. He says, Lord, I can't stand it anymore. If I don't get that Holy Ghost, I just want to die. I can't take it. You remember many times, Brother Branham, through the tapes, starts speaking to some people, and he says, you turn over, he says, and kneel down, and you say, Lord, I will never leave this place until you give me the Holy Ghost. And they got the Holy Ghost. Stay with it. You see? If you didn't get it today, you'll get it tomorrow, but stay with it. Don't let the devil tell you that these prayers don't count. Because remember, the hungry man, when he seeks God, his prayers are counted. We preach about it in the last service. And God will honor all your prayers, no matter what it is. He will honor them. Now, you believe and you're hungry after righteousness? The scripture says this, for you shall be filled. In Psalms 37:4, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. That's a powerful verse, isn't it? It says, Lord, the rapture is coming. Do I have the Holy Ghost? And you look at yourself. You know, the carnal believer believes he got everything. He needs nobody. But the Christian looks at himself and says, Lord, I need something. I need that strength that the Holy Ghost will give me. I need that convicting power of God in me. I need that power to stop me from thinking like that, from doing this. I want that Holy Ghost to take that covenant of the law of God that is in me and try to turn me to pieces. He says, this is wrong. Don't do it. You see, you've got to pay a high price sometimes to acknowledge that we need God. Because you have to surrender everything. father, mother, children, and so on. Remember what Brother Bram had done? His parents said, you can't act like that in this place. And you know, he left the house, he took a paper sack, and that's all he had. But God was with him. If you stand for God, not yourself, if you stand for God, God will stand for you. Don't worry where you're going. He has paved the road ahead of you. He knows exactly what's the tomorrow and after tomorrow. We feel so self-secure. We sit around and say, okay, my car is paid. I got a job. I got my retirement. I got this. I got nothing. You got nothing. Somebody can strike you like that and you're in trouble. You got nothing. But you got Jesus, you got it all. If you maintain the vision of the heavenly things, earthly things are passing off. Give your life to Him and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? The Lord might want you to sweep the floor. The Lord might want you to do this or that. Whatever He wants you to do, do it. As unto Him. How long? It's God's business, none of your business. We reason things. The things of the world have taken us so much sometimes that we don't know how to break through. You remember in the book of Luke, the 8th chapter, he says, the cares of life choke the life of that seed out of it. The cares of life. If you ever think the amount of hours we pray, being frustrated mentally, and then how much we work, and how much time we give to God, you look at yourself, you say, am I really saved? What keeps me? Because I don't put any time really to put for the Lord. I don't come here probably near all-night prayer meeting. I don't stay till 1 o'clock in the morning with my knees, in my knees. The only thing I do, when I go home, I eat something. I dive in bed. That's all I do. And forget the rest of it. And the alarm wakes me up, no time for God. Get ready to go. Kids are screaming and everything else. So God has promised He will give us the desire of our hearts. If we do what? Listen to what David said. Delight thyself, he says, in the Lord, and He shall give the desires of thy heart. What happened? You give your heart unto the Lord. At the day of Pentecost, something happened there. Now listen to this. At the day of Pentecost, they were in one accord. You see, Brother David, what's one accord? Can you find two people to agree? Do you know you won't find them today? You have a terrible time to find two people to agree. Two people can be roommates and have a great time. Give them a little time. The honeymoon is over. Trouble starts. Why? But in the day of Pentecost, they were in one accord, the word omu thymos. Omu is together. One soul desire to get the Holy Ghost. That's it. We are here because the Master promised it. Why they went up there? Because God says, in Christ says, go there. So they went up there to climb up there to the upper room. What they were doing? God said so. Christ, God in Christ. He said so, that's what's going to be. So somebody says, how long are you going to wait? We don't know. We're going to go up there. What are you going to do? We don't know. How it's going to happen? Never happened before. We don't know. We're here to meet God. He promised. So what do you worry how you're going to act like? Just get the promise. Stay on the promise and forget how you're going to act externally. If you're going to dance or not. Stay with it. Now, but the promise was one desire, thymos, or mother, or move together. One desire, one soul desire. To do what? God in Christ. Jehovah God in the Master promised to go to Jerusalem and wait until. How long? You know what's the dedication of the book of Acts? I'll go there even if I die. And they carry me out dead and put me in a box and bury me. That kind of faith in God. God is going to give it to me. Forget the people that tell you you got it if you don't. Just ask for it. Says, Lord, you promised it. Lord, how long am I going to pray? Lord, I'm going to bother you the rest of the time that I have a breath until you give it to me. You like that kind of a definition? You promised it and I want the promise. That's all. You give it to me. So now, when that Holy Spirit comes upon you, you don't have to have questions if you have it or not. You know you got it. Because the other people will look around and says, you know what the only thing that people know? How did he act? Some people say, well, he cried and he screamed, but he wasn't loud enough, you know. Leave them alone, these people. Just get the Holy Ghost in your heart and don't worry about these people. These people are confused. They try to judge you externally on what happened internally. But God knows when His Spirit comes in you. It changes you. The first thing, the evidence that you have, that Spirit will lead you to this Word and start opening the Word. And I'll tell you what. One of the hardest statements that I make one time was to that Baptist preacher and that executive of the Bob Jones University. He says, but David, he says, that's only for Acts 2. I said, what about the rest of the experiences? Do you believe in that? And then I want to throw the promise unto you and to your children, to them that's far off. He says, do you believe it's for today? I says, I believe it. That's for me, but probably it's not for you. And there's no worse place to hit a Baptist to tell him that a portion of the Scripture is not for him. The Scripture says, as many as the Lord God called. It probably hasn't called you. That's why you don't want it. If God calls you, you're hungry for it. That's straight Calvinism, but I believe in predestination, but I believe that God will give you that desire to have it. So when you look at somebody, raise their hands and say, praise God, hallelujah, when they sing songs. Don't look at them something like fall from the sky. Just worry about yourself. Say, I want to do the same thing for the Lord to give me the same thing. That's what I want. We're getting too starchy, you know that? We're afraid to sing, we're afraid to shout, we're afraid to do anything. We get so formal, and sometimes we destroy ourselves because we're afraid to say hallelujah sometimes. So God now, in the book of the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, let's look at Acts 19 for a minute, a couple of 3 points and we'll close. Acts, the 19th chapter. This is the case, the Holy Ghost given by laying Paul's hands there. And we know that in this case, that man, that these people around Paul now, they were sitting around and they were waiting for Paul to see what they are going to do, what he's going to do. And we know that there were Jews and Greeks. There was not a big crowd there. It was about 12 people. That's the whole congregation. I don't know why I mentioned today that verse, that man, the Baptist preacher, said to him, what do you do with these 4,000 people? What do you want with them? What is it? He said, I gave my blood here. He says, just about nobody saved except just a few. 4,000, what do you want with that? I says, do you know that the Ephesian church was about 12 people? He says, where did you find that? I says, in the Bible. He says, where is it? I says, go to the book of Acts 19, you read it. When he read it, he just froze like that. Look at me. He says, what am I doing with all these people? He says, I'll be guilty in the day of judgment with what I'm doing. Now, we know that there were not too many people there. I left my notes at home, so I'm looking here. I'm sorry to do that. Where is that verse of the 19th chapter about receiving the Holy Ghost? Seven. 7. Okay, now, here is Paul coming. And he lays his hand upon them. The Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Remember, this was the group of the Jews. Brother Abraham, speaking about that, he makes this statement. Now listen to what he said about that. He says, the Holy Spirit, you are believing into eternal life, but when the Holy Spirit comes, it is eternal life. Then he continues, you are believing unto, you begotten of the Spirit at sanctification, but never born of the Spirit until the Holy Ghost comes in. That's correct, he said. Listen. It's a baby got life in the womb of the mother. Little muscles are just quivering around. It's life. But it's different life when it breathes the breath of life into its nostrils. It's different. That's what it is. My dear Methodist brother and Pilgrim Holiness and Nazarene, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is different from sanctification. It's a definite experience. If you ask me what do we need in this church, we need a visitation of the Holy Ghost. I know we live at the end. And I know that I cannot look around me without being frustrated. I feel sometimes I have to take my head and beat it on the wall. That's how bad I feel sometimes. But I know one thing. The answer is a visitation of the Holy Ghost. And I'm covering the Holy Ghost materials. Somebody can grasp something and say, well, that's what I'm supposed to do. Probably I don't have it. Probably I don't. Don't question. If you have it, you know it. That's what it says here. Sanctification is the cleansing, which is preparation of life. But when the Holy Ghost comes, it is life. Preparation is cleaning the vessel. The Holy Ghost is filling the vessel. Sanctification means cleanse, to set aside for service. The Holy Spirit is put you into service. You are the vessel that God cleaned up. So, here in the Scriptures, the questions have been asked, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? By believing, there are different degrees and different things that the people believe when they say, I believe. Sometimes they can believe mentally. Sometimes they can reason something. It doesn't mean they believe. When you believe, the heart reacts. And from your heart says, so it be, that's truth. You know? You get the Holy Ghost, and then you read the Word, and all of a sudden, something burns you up and gives you life. Have you ever been in a state that probably you are depressed or you have some problems and you don't know what to do and no answer? Seems to me the whole world is falling apart and I don't know what I'm doing, and the devil brings you that tomorrow, the children, what you're going to do, you're sick and all these things, and all of a sudden God opens His Word to you and takes a verse and makes it life to you. You're a different person. What is it? The Spirit of God takes the Word, opens it, reveals it to you. You respond to that Word. The Holy Spirit in you testifies that's the truth. And then all the trust that you were thinking disappear. And the only thing you know is God said so. Forget about the rest of it. If we just know how to put our cares before the Lord, to just clean that dirty vessel that we got and say, Lord, I want you in there to dwell in your fullness. If you have the Holy Ghost, and probably in your life you feel that you need something more, a new visitation from God, God will visit you. Renew that you had in you. Don't stay and say, well, I pray, I never got anything, you know. I don't feel anything. Just stay there. Read the Cornelius case, and then go on with that, you know. I'm trying, the Lord's willing, one more service. I will cover the two other instances in the book of Acts. But the Holy Spirit is real. It will keep you, it will guide you, it will protect you. It's better to be in the Ephesian church with 12 instead of the Corinthian church with all the problems. I'm not capable of judging it, but when you start reading the book of Ephesians, you know, it says, and grieve not the Spirit of God by which you have been sealed or engaged until the day of your redemption. You shake yourself up and you say, do you know that I'm supposed to be Miss Jesus? Do you know I'm supposed to keep myself from the world and stand without spot or wrinkle before Jehovah? Do you know that?